So 3 months ago, the leadership team asked me to make sure that I was not preaching every Sunday, but that instead about once a month, there was someone else taking that piece of my work. And so as I thought through those seasons, we were gifted to have Deacon Jody Hansen and Pastor Heidi Quanley come. And I had just begun to tune into this podcast, Here We Jam. And there's not really an excuse for us to have the director of rural ministry come to Spirit of Joy. That doesn't normally suit, but I really like Pastor Joel. And I really wanted him to come, and you all know what a gift that Jamie Lennon is to us, as he's offered the word here as well. And so as I listened to their work and their creation of these playlists of contemporary and popular music that support the church here, I found myself thinking, I want to do that for our summer. So they did. They created a playlist for us. It's only 10 songs. Something like that. So you can certainly listen through it pretty easily. And they'd offered to come here and essentially do a live episode of their podcast for this Sunday. So, Jamie, Joel, the floor is yours.
All right. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Joel.
You're seeing, or folks were just seeing a photo of us in our extensive study for this sermon / episode of the podcast. Now, it's true that we didn't just meet there, but we figured, if, you know, right? I think it was you who said...
It seems appropriate for a sermon on Martin Luther to start with beer.
Exactly right. Yes, yes. So that was, I feel like, in order for a tradition to be a tradition, you have to do it three times. So I think now, thank you, Spirit of Joy, we're starting a new tradition for how we prepare our podcasts. So, good. All right. Yeah, so we wanted to talk a little bit about at least how we started, because the Here We Jam podcast started because Jamie reached out to me. It was Pentecost.
About 12 months ago.
Yeah, about 12 months ago, and...
So if the folks who follow the Synod's blog, right?
Yeah.
You wrote a piece 12 months ago with a playlist inspired by Huey Lewis in the News, informed by Pentecost.
So
I am not a Huey Lewis in the News fan, hugely, but I read that and thought, oh my gosh, this is a guy that's doing the exact same thing that I do when I prepare for a sermon, that is hearing music in coming out of the words. So I reached out, and it was the first time we met Joel over coffee,
yep, about
12 months ago, and then we're like, is there anything to this idea? And we've been floating with it ever since.
Exactly right, yeah. So we started doing this podcast in Advent at the beginning of the church year, and so now is this episode 7?
This is, yeah.
Right now? So we're, for every season of the church year, we're doing a little recording and also putting out a playlist of songs. And so, Spirit of Joy, you have now a playlist, and... as we were thinking about this, there it is, right? Yep. So as we were thinking about this, we started off with kind of the history of Martin Luther. And so the first two songs are really about that season. Do you want to go first with your song? Or
I would say maybe you can go first, but
okay.
I would say to me it's what we're bringing into the text. So when Eric asked us to do a piece on Martin Luther, the first song that came into my head, you'll see in a moment here, really speaks to his story. And so before we get to the word, we figured we probably should present these two songs because this is what we're bringing into it.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we read in a context, or we experience the Spirit of Christ in a context. And so I had the great opportunity for many years before I became a pastor at the LCA to travel as a musician and actually lead music in Germany for different Lutheran heritage tours. And so these friends of mine, George and Michael, who are Lutheran musicians, they've made a Luther rock opera. And so their Lutheran rock opera, it's great, yeah. So for the song Turmoil, Lust, and Power, it's a song about that age that Luther is in, right? But as I was listening to the song and looking at the lyric, I was like, oh man, this could be about today, right? And so I think the song is really fascinating. So the turmoil, lust, and power is an opening line, but then it changes. The opening line of each verse kind of grows, and so the next one is, it's an age to fear, submit, and cower. Right? Anyone feel that? And then the third time they change the line, it was an age when seeds might come to flower. All of these being true. And now, I chose that song because actually Jamie put his songs in first. And so this next song is one that I was like, oh, this has to happen.
And I switched the order because the line in this song that says that it's Reformation was in the wind. The Reformation was in the wind.
The winds behind the storm were blowing toward reform.
Yeah. So I chose Thunderstruck by AC/DC. Those who know the story of Martin Luther obviously was on the road back as a lawyer and caught in a storm. This song was written inspired by a storm. Angus Jensen was on a plane that was hit by lightning, and then this song inspired him to double down on his vocation, very similar to Martin Luther.
Yeah.
Just a very different kind of vocation. So you get a little window into where our respective heads are at. So as we move through the rest of the playlist, I just wanted to start with that.
Well, I did want to, before we get to our actual Romans text, this was fascinating. Like, Jamie and I are getting to know each other in real time, right? This, not only is our relationship new and we get to learn new things about each other, we also are kind of like thinking about this whole thing as conversation. Like, the Reformation hasn't stopped, right? We're still in the conversation. And so one of the things I wanted to share was, like, you and I both actually, we didn't grow up in this ELCA tradition. We grew up in different traditions. And you shared something this morning that was so fascinating to me, that when you first got to know who Martin Luther was, how old were you?
I was in college.
So it was in college?
Yep, I would have been in my 20s. So I was born and raised Catholic, so many of you know this, but my Catholic education informed me that the Reformation happened because Henry VIII wanted to get divorced.
Yeah.
And maybe there was some other stuff happening in Europe, but really Henry VIII wanted to get divorced, and that's all you need to know about that.
Well, and it was, here was the other thing I didn't share this. I just learned this about Jamie, like, you know, 5 minutes ago. And that your college professor was the one who kind of had this conversation, and it was a philosophy professor. So here's the really interesting thing for me in that, when you shared that. I grew up in a Lutheran tradition, but it was not the ELCA. It was much more strict. Philosophy was verboten. That was the stuff that you didn't, because that didn't have Jesus in it, right? And so I was reflecting on this week because, see, my wife and I are both ELCA pastors now, and we both grew up in this different tradition where things like philosophy was forbidden. And in that tradition, their summer convention, they're having a discussion right now about whether or not women should be allowed to read the scriptures in public. Right? Yeah. And to think about that, and the fact that my spouse, Amy, who's a pastor, is now being so supported in her call and vocation that her congregations have allowed her to have a sabbatical because she's been 5 years. We both have now been 5 years into this. So that the tradition, right? I was thinking about that because I was recently at one of our rural churches, and we were having a meal before a meeting, and I shared that I think our branch of the Lutheran tree is the most true to the Reformation, right? And the people around the table are like, oh, I've never heard that before. I'm like, no, I really do. And so when we think about our history, I think it's really important that we think about our history, but also to say that we're still living it, right? And that's really powerful.
Conversation continues.
The conversation continues. All right, so where are we? I mean, we made notes and stuff, but we'll see if we get there. Yeah, well.
Should we do the reading?
We should do the reading. Right. All right. Okay. I think we talked about, should we stand for this?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to do Lutheran calisthenics, everybody. Let's stand. All right. So here is our text from Romans. And I want to prime your ears here. This is the Lutheran tradition, right? So where or how is the gospel being proclaimed in this reading? That's the question. As you listen to this reading, where or how is the gospel being proclaimed in this reading? Romans, the third chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human will be justified before him by deeds prescribed by the law, for though the law comes, through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to demonstrate at the present time his own righteousness so that he is righteous and he justifies the one who has the faith of Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. Though through what kind of law? That of works? No, rather through the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Here ends our reading. Please be seated. All right, so Jamie, what'd you hear?
I hear that God loves us.
All right.
Simply, that we don't need to earn it, that we have already been saved, and that no amount of works can increase the amount of love that God has for us.
Yeah. I mean, I hear the same thing, and I love working at stuff, right? I want to make it about myself. I do. I mean, right? You were gardening yesterday.
Yep.
Right? And
at the sunburn to prove it.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And so I also, like, because the sermon, our Lutheran tradition, right, we Luther lifted up the proclamation of the gospel, the words, the physicalness of the gospel as a means for experiencing the Spirit of Christ in our midst. And so I sometimes get trapped in myself and want to really define the sermon and write it all out and have all the points layered as if it's this thing that people will read. But it's not. It's meant for this exchange. Yeah. That's why I think the conversation is important. It helps free me up from making the sermon about myself because I do it all the time, right? And that's, for me, what this text is doing for me, right?
Well, and
it decenters myself.
Yes, and you mentioned conversation, and perhaps this is not where I'm not necessarily hearing gospel in here, but I entered this text, or was hearing in this text this week, a conversation not between Paul and the Romans, but actually between Paul and Saul, that he was having this conversation with himself. So when you get to the end where it's like, what a boasting. I almost hear that as Saul being like, hey, excuse me, what a boasting. Like, I'm pretty
really
good at that.
I'm really good at boasting, right? Yeah. So I love that. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think actually returns to the children's message that you had, that things go in that cycle, right? That mm-hmm. Paul's even still having that conversation with himself. Like, this stalwart of our faith is maybe still just reminding himself every so often, you know what? It's faith. Like, all these works, all these readings, all these letters that you're writing, all this work, it's still faith that overrides it.
Yeah, I mean, on one level, right, Paul is this, like, super confident, right? And then at other times, he can be really honest. And I do think, like, that our Lutheran tradition of the both and, like, we are sinners and saints at the same time, like, he embodies that. And that Paul-Saul thing. Yeah. I mean, Maybe one of these days it'll become this like theatrical thing, and we'll just take the opposite sides and right. Yeah. Good. All right. So. Okay.
About the song that led you to, perhaps.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So this next tune. All right. Oh yeah. Okay. Take Your Medicine. This is a song. The band is called Cloud Cult. They come out of Minnesota, and I hear a lot of kind of Lutheran theology in their stuff. I was realizing that the other song I could have chosen to put in this playlist, they have a song called Alien Christ, which is just fascinating to me. But this is a new band to Jamie. We listen to very different music, and so we're actually introducing one another to new music when we do these projects. So this Take Your Medicine, it's about confession. Confession is one of the heart pieces of our Lutheran tradition. And so we both chose confession, yeah. Or we have a series of confession songs.
I think we always kind of do. I mean,
do that, we?
Well, I feel like that's a theme of all of our playlists. It's usually got a U2 song or two in it, and it's usually got confessional music. Yeah,
and so I find this song, it really links to me in confession. What's your confession song? Remind me.
Oh. Heavenly Father.
Another great musician from around where I grew up in northern Wisconsin. His music studio, Bon Iver's studio, is in the former bank in a small town in northern Wisconsin. They were the rival high school for my high school. And so he's a Grammy-winning musician who makes his music in small town in northern Wisconsin. But
just a couple of things on this song. So he wrote this for a movie maybe about 15 years or so ago. And when he wrote it and the first time he played it, he actually announced it as, "I wrote this song when I realized finally that there was no God." And I hear this song and I think, how do you not feel the spirit in this song? But there's tension rife throughout. It contains the line, like, "Am I free? Will I be free?" All throughout. And it ends, the acoustic version that actually I sent Joel, which is not on the playlist because it's not something you can access on Apple Music, contains the line, "I want my goodness to show. I want my goodness to show." And it just, this tension that I think exists throughout. But a few months ago, Justin Vernon was actually doing an interview where he talked about where his faith is at now, that he no longer considers himself atheist. He's more agnostic and open. And I, again, return back to the song, and which he's now re-released, and some of those lines and lyrics have changed. I'm like, yeah, I can feel it.
Yeah. That's fascinating. I didn't know that was a song for a movie, because I think our next song is a movie song too. Okay, yeah, Billie Eilish, right? So here's the story for me. This is a song for the Barbie movie soundtrack, and I actually love putting it in because the theology of this is confession. It is trying to find, what was I made for? Now, I started listening to Billie Eilish 3 years ago because of a high school student at the congregation I was serving at the time. And she had this beautiful voice. She still has this beautiful voice. And I said, "Well, if you could sing any song in church, what would you want to sing?" And she said, "Oh, I'd want to sing this Billie Eilish song called The 30th. And so I started listening to Billie Eilish because of this high school student, and we did it as a confession. There's so much of these songs that are confession. Yeah. And it leads me into a quote that I want to share with you that is at the beginning of the Reformation. It's the very first of the 95 Theses. So 1517, Martin Luther posts these 95 Theses, however he did it. The very first one is about this, and here it is. "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, 'Repent,'" and he's referencing Matthew 4 there, "he intended that the entire life of believers should be one of repentance." When Jesus says repent, he intended for the entire life of believers to be confession and that word of forgiveness. And so Luther centers that in our tradition, and I think that's really powerful.
Well, and the way that we build these playlists sometimes, I mean, it might start with me throwing a few songs in there and then Joel putting about 25 in there, and then me having to remind him, it's like, we need to, like, talk about these. We can't talk about all 25. We'll be here all day. You might be wondering, are we going to be here all day right now, actually? But we have 10. We'll get to the 10. But I kept putting some in and then taking them out, putting them in, taking them out. And then I was gardening yesterday, listening to it. And that's one of the joys that I get in building these playlists, is actually listening to it when we think we've got it. Right. And I still felt that I had one missing, but didn't know what it was, and then was out. Moving mulch when the Billie Eilish song came on, and I was like, I think there's a response that I can offer to that song. And so I went to my, I stopped doing what I was doing, went to my Apple Music and started looking through some of my folks that I usually go to when I'm looking for, really I'm looking for the word in the music that I'm listening to. And I landed on Emily Sandé, which is a Scottish musician.
New to beautiful. Me. Yeah, beautiful.
And so I encourage you to listen to this song. It is, we could hear this two ways. Actually, Joel last night asked, you know, are you hearing absolution in this, or are you hearing love for the Holy Other? I was like, I actually hear this framed as from God's perspective, that it's just telling you to stop. Like, I think the opening line is, brother, when you're feeling hurt, like, love is still there. And closing towards the end, it's like, don't give up on love, because love will not give up on you. There is absolution, absolutely, that speaks into that song. And then when I put the playlist together again with this in there, was back out gardening, heard the Billie Eilish song again, and then when Emily Sandé kicked in the first few lines, I had to stop because I was crying. Because I was like, and I immediately text Joel and was like, that's our gospel tune.
Right. Yeah, yeah. There's a line there in that song, as I was listening to it for the first time. She says, love's gonna pull you through. So no matter what you've done, because it's not about you, right? That's what our Romans text has. It's not about you. You don't need to center yourself here. Center Christ. Love's gonna pull you through. So we move from that into this kind of next place. And we didn't just prepare for this with beers. I did a search to find how many times in our Lutheran tradition, either Luther or the early church reformers referenced this text out of Romans. It was over 200 times. So this text is a central text for our tradition, over 200 times in the early church. And so I kind of joke about this, but I brought my Book of Concord.
Your Brick of Concord.
The Brick of Concord. The doorstop of Concord, right? These are the tenets of the early Lutheran church. And it is fascinating and kind of beautiful to read. And so I wanted to share a text of this. And it comes from the Formula of Concord. So that the Formula of Concord starts at the back. It's in the 500s for this book. And the Formula of Concord gets put together because after Martin Luther dies, he dies roughly just under 30 years after he puts the 95 Theses out. So 30 years later, he's passed, and the churches are having controversies over some of the things he wrote. And so they put out the Formula of Concord, and part of the formula references, there we go, we got it up on screen. And it references this text, this Romans text. And I think this is really just a beautiful way to continue to think about the text, to continue the conversation. Love is a fruit that certainly and necessarily results from true faith. So love is that fruit. For all who do not love surely indicate that they are not justified, but rather are still in death. Right? There's the law. And there it is, right? Going on. Paul says in Romans that we are justified by faith apart from works. He is indicating that neither the contrition that precedes nor the works that result from faith belong in the article or the treatment of justification by faith. For good works do not precede justification, but result from it. People must first be righteous before they can do good works. And so, again, it decenters us. It decenters even our good works and says anything that good that we do, it comes from outside of us, from Jesus. And I think that's powerful for our tradition. Yeah. And so it doesn't release the tension, though. So the next song that you put in.
Well, the next song I put in, well, actually.
Oh, it's Love Without Fear. Okay, yeah. I forgot. It's mine. I love this tune. Dan Wilson is another Minnesota musician. Grew up in Minnesota. He lives in LA now. And you got to listen to this tune. This Love Without Fear, this idea that love, it's for me, this is a song that riffs on the formula of Concord. And there it is. It's just powerful. So.
And that, one of the other songs that I put in, this one really is my faith, I feel like, in a nutshell. And I feel, again, it's a conversation between Queen or Freddie Mercury and David Bowie. And I think speaking into the Book of Concord, there's a line in there where Freddie Mercury says that I turned away from it all like a blind man, but it didn't work. Right? We can have faith, and we think to ourselves, okay, I've got my faith, but it doesn't require me to do anything but just to have my relationship with Christ. And then we get out into the world and we think, why are people still hurting? Why is the world still hurting? Why is there so many people on the streets under pressure? And David Bowie's response to that is love. Like, you know, I keep looking out for love, but I found it so slashed and torn. And it ends with, again, David Bowie announcing that love dares you. It dares you to care for the other. It dares you to actually step out and love the other, not because you've got to pay it back. You know, there's no remunerance here. It's because you've been saved. And to me, that is the core tenet of Lutheran theology. I have been blessed, therefore I should be, I go out to be a blessing. I'm blessed, and I will serve others.
Yep. Yeah, for the neighbor, yep. Right? And so this next song, really the Under Pressure and Love Is Not Against the Law, to me, are these kind of those next steps in our Lutheran tradition, that we go out for the neighbor, for the holy other, and it puts us in tension. It's the cross, right? Where do we meet Jesus? We meet Jesus on the cross. We actually also meet Jesus at the crossroads with our neighbor, and so this love is not against the law, that it is a fulfillment of the law, as Jesus said. So I want to challenge us with this song, right? I'll just read some of the opening lyrics as we continue to think about how this love of Christ, as we live it out, puts us in a crossroads. Here's the opening lines. Politics or love can make you blind or make you see, make you a slave or make you free, but only one does it all, and it's giving up your life for the ones you hate the most. It's learning to admit when you've had a hand in setting them up and knocking them down, because love is not against the law. And in the same way that you got choked up when you were gardening, Amy and I were listening through some of these songs yesterday, and we got choked up because we hadn't listened to this song in a while, and it, right? It was that moment of, yeah, this is the crossroads, and Christ meets us there on the cross.
Well, going back to Paul and Saul, right? Like that's our inspiration. Like the guy who was out on the horse, the zealot that was ready to boast, who is going to persecute, is our evangelist. Like so, sinners are welcome here, and it doesn't matter what sin you've caused. The God will forgive. God will embrace.
Yeah. And so we come to the end. With Beautiful Day.
Well, I told you, we have to have a U2 song in there. I think it's contractually obliged.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and so this Beautiful Day, right, it doesn't deny the tension.
The tension's even in that lyric.
Exactly, right. I mean,
it was the line, you thought you'd found a friend, someone you could lend a hand in return for grace, and then it kicks into the chorus. It's like overrides the chorus. Like,
yeah.
You thought you found a way to salvation. No.
Yeah.
You know, you don't help the neighbor to get your salvation. You've already got it, and now go live that beautiful day.
Yes, exactly right. And so it brings us kind of that full circle. So then the question again for us to continue the conversation, right? Because this is just a next chapter, right? The Reformation isn't done. We're still living it. So where do you hear the gospel in this text? I mean, we've talked about it a little bit. That's the conversation I hope you have over coffee this week. Where do you hear the gospel in this text? Where is God calling you to love? Where's that crossroads?
And my last note would be like to enjoy the playlist, but if you listen to this or in reading, find songs that, because this is how this works for us. Like, I hear a song of Joel's and it's like, oh, this song is inspiring that song. We'd love to hear him. Like, I genuinely would love to hear him. That's how I build my catalog. So,
Hey, thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.